officially or technically, the prayers of glorification have reached a new level. The level is now where he's making a petition to the Supreme Lord. And it's an indirect and a very transcendently artful petition. That is, he's petitioning the Supreme Lord to empower his intelligence to understand him and describe him properly. Actually, he's already done that within his mind. Maharaj Parikshit, in this dialogue, heard from Shukadeva Goswami what is the duty of all living beings, and particularly the duty of a person about to die, that's himself, or others, that the knock on the door comes. Death is at the door. Let me in. You can't come in. Door's locked. Nobody's home. Let me in. What are you going to do? What's your duty at that moment? And Prabhupada taught us this way in our, again, keeping things really simple for our Western mentality. Prabhupada said, pilots undergo training on the ground and then in the air, but eventually they have to fly their own plane. And the time of death, you have to fly your own plane. Sometimes he said it differently. Our Pralambaha. Some of you know Pralambaha, Prabhupada's disciple, young man who was our head cook before Vishvakarma became the head cook. He lives near the temple, and he went through the Gurukula, and was initiated by Prabhupada, and became the head cook of, and the head pujari for Kishore for some years. And it was one of Pralambaha's standard phrases. Prabhupada said, at the time of death, you have to fly your own plane. Meaning life is a preparation for it. Ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, one has to remember Krishna. And I never got it, I could never follow what Prabhupada was saying, but he was saying, in Bengal there is a saying, that he would say it in Bengali, that all of one's sadhana is examined at the time of death. Whatever it is that you've done, and you've done, and you've done, whatever it is, the time of death is the final exam. What is the fruit of that which you have done? So, what is the duty in one's life, and what is the duty at that moment? Death is approaching. What are you going to do? What preparation you have made will determine what you're going to do. So, Shukadeva Goswami has answered that, and he's answered what is that subject matter that one should hear about, chant about, and remember always. He's given his conclusions, and hearing those conclusions, Maharaj Parikshit has asked further questions. You've said the subject that one should hear about is the personality of Godhead. I want to hear about the personality of Godhead by understanding his inconceivable potencies. Now, there's an inherent contradiction there. How to understand something that's inconceivable, there's a contradiction. How do you understand something that's inconceivable? You understand when that inconceivable is disclosed. Like deity worship. We hear that deity worship is the deity form of the Lord is not different than the Lord. We all heard that so many times. But convention is that one sees the deity differently than the Supreme Lord. It's a duty that I do because it's a religious thing to do, and so I do my religious duty. But seeing the Supreme Lord, seeing the deity as the Supreme Lord, well, we're not there yet, most of us. Well, Prabhupada explained, one should worship the deity in the regulative manner like that, and with great attention and reverence and devotion, serve the deity as the Supreme Lord, and when the Supreme Lord appreciates one's level of service and he decorates one's consciousness, decorates oneself in proper consciousness to understand, Prabhupada said, one day Krishna will speak to you and say, I am like this. So we're waiting for that day where Krishna will say, I am like this. And for now we're in the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti before the Bhava and Prema Bhakti stages arise. But one follows the other, just like a seed. When it sprouts, and then there's a little shoot, and then some leaves unfurl, and just like it's described in scripture, the unfolding of the creeper of bhakti, the fruit comes from the little seed that produces more seeds in the fruit. The capacity to then inculcate the same realization in others comes from the fruit of carefully, faithfully, diligently performing devotional service. So, Maharaj Pariksit wants that experience. He wants the disclosure. He wants the realization from hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. How does the Supreme Lord deal with his inconceivable potencies? So in the verses that we're going to discuss this afternoon, it's verses where Shukadeva Goswami is praying in a very artful and beautiful way for the capacity to properly describe the inconceivable to Maharaj Pariksit. How the inconceivable energies of the work, of the Lord work. Here's how he does it. We discussed the verses end with glorifications, the mahima, the glories of the personality of Godhead. So now this bridge verse, he continues with further glories and then the petition. The previous request was, may I somehow come before you and that you're pleased by me. Let my existence and my service unto you be pleasing unto you. This is my request. And now the service that he has to do is to describe the inconceivable. So now he's requesting the capacity to do that which is inconceivable, or describe the inconceivable. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andaka and Vrishti of the Yadu dynasty, who is the husband of all goddesses of fortune, who is the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities, who is the controller of all intelligence, who is the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and who is the supreme incarnation on the earth, supreme all and all, be merciful upon me. So the Sanskrit is very nice. It's one of these alliteration verses. Shriyapatir Yagyapatir Prajapatir Dhyampatir Lokapatir Tarapatihi Patir Gatis Chandraka Vrishni Satvatam Vrishidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Patihi. He's the Satam Patihi. He's the master or the lord of everyone, and particularly of those who are pure, those situated in Sat, knowledge of the truth. Devotees of the Lord. He's the Lord of the devotees. And he's the Lord of Shriyapatir, Yajyapatir, Prajapatir, Dhyampatir, Lokapatir. So, in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada refers to the verse that we spent so much time discussing this morning. The Gata Vyalikai. Anybody have a good memory? Remember what we discussed this morning about Gata Vyalikai? What does the term mean? Gata Vyalikai means beyond pretension. Gata Vyalikai. So, beyond pretension, Prabhupada explained, we discussed, is true selflessness, or true humility, or true sincerity, or the real thing. Our teenagers know about, you know, wanting what's really real. None of this hokey stuff that anybody over 35 is all made up of. You want the really real thing, right? Kind of an idealism that reaches reality, the fructification of what real sincerity is, as opposed to pretense, to pretend something, to pretend self-realization, to pretend God realization, to pretend something. That's different than practicing or cultivating something. That question came up today. But if we're not really in that state of consciousness, we can practice and cultivate in a humble, in a truly humble state of mind. I'm not there, but I want to cultivate being sincere. And if we follow the path of great souls, Mahajano, Nenikata Sapanta, we can develop those real qualities, that which is really real. No pretense. Here, in this purport, Prabhupada again refers to the Gata Vyalika message of Shukadeva Goswami, and he referred to Shukadeva Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, the heads of those two sampradayas, the Rudra Sampradaya and the Brahma Sampradaya, but likewise the Sri Sampradaya and the Kumara Sampradaya, and the heads of those sampradayas as being of that quality, genuine, and exhibiting the qualities of one who is genuine, that is, fully taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not taking credit for what they have done. That's pretense, because what is it that anyone of us has done independent of the Supreme who is providing us ability to do whatever it is that we do, even the wrong things? The ability comes from God. Hiranyakashipu was challenging Prahlad. You're so powerful. I'm the most powerful person in the universe. Even when I raise my eyebrows, the demigods tremble and run in fear, and I can't harm a hair on your head. You're completely fearless, and I tried so many ways to kill you, and I can't kill you. Where do you get your power? Prahlad's answer, from the same place you do. My dear demoniac father, there's one supreme above us all, Lord Vishnu.
Oh, Vishnu!
Right?
Where is this Vishnu?
He's everywhere, Father.
Oh, he's everywhere.
Is he in this pillar? Yeah, he's in the pillar. High ball. He's everywhere. He's in the heart of the devotee, and he's also in the heart of the non-devotee, and he's in the heart of the insect, and he's in the heart of every living being. And sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matak smitir jnanam apohanam cha. 15:15 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna indicates he's in the heart, and he's from the position of being in the heart, he's giving remembrance, knowledge, forgetfulness, direction to the living entity. He's giving material intelligence and spiritual intelligence. He reserves the right to give spiritual intelligence to those who are surrendered to him. Those who don't have a bad attitude towards him. He withdraws that spiritual intelligence and he gives the other kind. How to go away from him. It's called material intelligence. How to manipulate matter and think that you're manipulating matter. When it's actually the agency of the material energy empowering the living entity to do whatever it is that he does. So he's under the whammy of illusion. We discussed that this morning. Yaya samobito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Vyasadeva realized how the living entities are sammohita, very bewildered by the state of affairs, thinking we got everything under control, we have our new systems in place, we have our plan. All of you people that work in the office, you know what this kind of rhetoric is like. So in the purport, Prabhupada discusses what these terms mean. I'm not going to dwell on them. The purport is 3.5 pages long. Very nice purport. Shriya Patir. Prabhupada explains that the materialist wants opulence. They want the goddess of fortune, and please excuse me, but Narayan, step aside. Tiny ravenous. They want to enjoy Sita without Ram. They want to enjoy Lakshmi without Narayan. But that's not possible. So they may worship Devi or Lakshmi or various other forms of dispensers of benedictions, not knowing, as Krishna indicates, who the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices are. But Krishna is, whatever benediction the goddess of fortune may give, ultimately it's under the direction of the husband of the goddess of fortune. Madhava is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And she won't do without the indication of her husband because she's a very chaste wife. And so the reflection of the goddess of fortune is what worldly people are chasing after. The reflection of the spiritual energy is the material energy. And the material energy is not a very favorable master or mistress to serve. She has her trident and gives trouble to the living entities. Adiatmaka, Adidaivaka, Anabhivautika, Klesha. I'll serve you while I serve you. I'll serve you better. Please give me opulence. So, but Krishna is described in Sri Brahma Samhita as in the spiritual world surrounded by countless goddesses of fortune, where every tree is a Kalpavriksha tree, and every cow is a Surabhi cow, and the countless numbers of goddesses of fortune. And they're all interested simply in serving Krishna, and Krishna's not going to this desire tree, that desire tree. Can you fulfill my desire? I want something. Therefore, he's, and even the proper religious performances that are done, Krishna is the yajñapati, or bhoktaram yajñatapasam. He's the bhokta of all yajñas, or from third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, yajñartat karmano nyatra, okoyam karma bandhana. Those who are engaged in the proper procedure of yajna or sacrifice are freed from the bondage of their works, but those that do not take up their activity in the spirit of sacrifice are captured by the bondage of their work. And you can't not work, and you can't work in order to get free from bondage. You can't. Sacrifice is necessary. But he's the Yajñapati. He's the actual beneficiary of all Vedic yajnas. Even the Karmakanda form of yajnas, he's the bhokta. He's the ultimate beneficiary, and that he dispenses, or through others he dispenses. So he's being honored by Shukadeva Goswami in that regard. Prajapati, of all praja, he is the maintainer. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam yo vididati kamat. Prabhupada liked to quote that. One of the reasons he liked to quote that verse is it's directly from the Upanishads. It's not a Puranic message or Bhagavad Gita message, but it's directly from Katha Upanishad, from the Shruti portion of the Vedas. Nityo, Nityanam. Nityo is singular, Nityanam is plural. It's very clear there's diversity in the spiritual realm. Where there is oneness, Advaita, those of you that like this kind of subject. In the Advaita realm, there's plurality. Nityo, Nityanam. Chaitanas, Chaitananam. Eko, Bahunam. Yo, Vididati Kama. There's one who's supplying all the necessities for the plural, many. Bahunam. And that's Krishna. He's the Yajñapati. He's the Prajapati. He's the Shriyapati. And then comes the one that Prabhupada focuses on the most, is Dhyapati. Dhyampati. He's the Lord of Intelligence. Living beings, Prabhupada writes, are proportionally endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. So if someone is exhibiting intelligence, we have some very bright young students over here doing very, very well in their studies, their academic work. Where does that ability come from? Krishna! He's Dhyampatihi. And it's according to one's, proportionate to one's past activities. Krishna awards, or Krishna takes away. Krishna covers. So, he supplies intelligence. Again, the 15:15 verse of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvashachahamridisamivishto mataks mithir gyanam apohanamcha. Krishna supplies remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Some living beings are endowed with capacity for very good remembrance. It's like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, anyone who has read anything he's written, it's like, whoa, falling in the ceiling here. Very amazing intellect, stunning intellect. But aside from his stunning intellect, his capacity was whatever he heard once or read once, he would remember it with perfect recall. Pretty good, huh? You don't even have to do your homework. Just pay attention in classrooms. Don't do your homework. Just hear it once and get an A in every exam. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta did. He never did homework. But he had the capacity to just remember everything. When he was 6 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, verse by verse. 6 years old. He wasn't even a teenager. He was 6 years old. And not only he could recite every verse in Bhagavad Gita, but if asked, could you give an explanation to 517 Bhagavad Gita, he could recite it and give a 10-minute class on the meaning of the verse. Any verse in Bhagavad Gita. Or when he was finishing his college, he didn't finish college because he had started this, I forget what he called it, but you know, students dedicated to lifelong celibacy, some term in Bengali. And there weren't too many students that were interested. But he was very interested. And he understood that if I get my degree, I know what's coming next. Every young Indian man knows what's coming next. Get a job, and then you know what's coming next. My parents are going to want to make sure that I have proper marriage. So he took a leave of absence from school and took up a simple occupation of being the librarian for the king of Midnapur. And while he was the librarian, he read every book in the library. And he perfectly memorized everything that he read because he just had that capacity. And so later in his writings, he would write, you know, in Milton's Paradise Lost, page 234, paragraph 3, he says, without looking it up or, you know, doing word search, just memory. Word for word. Where does that ability come from? Same place any ability comes from. Krishna! Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is some stories. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was just a teenager, he had his own school. He's the personality of Godhead. He learned his lessons like that from Gangadas Pandit. And he was so good that Gangadas Pandit ran out of things to teach him. So then he gave Nimai his own little school. He got the little kids to teach, and he just taught them introductory grammar 101, you know. Very simple rudiments. And he was so good as a teacher that they learned everything from Nimai in a short period of time. So all the kids wanted to go to Nimai's school And all the parents wanted their kids to go to Nimai school. He had a huge school. He had hundreds of students. Just teenager. Then, Keshava Kashmiri, the Brahmin from Kashmir, Digvijay Pandit, the conqueror of all, he traveled all over India and smashed everybody with his erudition and scholarship, because that was the program. He would go someplace and challenge somebody to a debate, and the debate person would be victorious, and the losing person had to surrender to the victorious person. So he had thousands, huge entourage, famous pundit. And he came to Navadvip because he heard it was a seat of high learning, and all the pundits of Navadvip hid under their porches and ran the other way and didn't want to deal with this guy. I mean, pundit. So he heard from the local people, the most brilliant scholar in all of Dweep is this teenager named Nimai Pandit. So he heard about him and he requested to be introduced to him, and Nimai could immediately understand the mountain of pride in his heart. And so he took a very intelligent path. He flattered him. Digvijay, I've heard you are such a wonderful scholar, so learned and a great poet and skilled in so many ways. Could you, we live by the side of the Ganges, I would love to hear from you wonderful poetry composed by you in glory and glorification of Mother Ganges. Oh yes, I can satisfy your desire. I can compose spontaneous verses in Sanskrit and glorification of Mother Ganges. So for 1 hour, non-stop, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes, like the blowing wind from his mouth came beautiful poetic phrases in glorification of Mother Ganges, filled with all literary ornaments, one after the next. And when he was finished, Nimai Pandit said, "Oh, Digvijay, I have never heard anyone with such capacity as you. Surely the goddess of learning, Saraswati, has empowered you to do this wonderful glorification." Now, is it possible that in the 53rd verse that you spoke, you could tell me what were the literary ornaments and faults of that verse? Digvijay said, 53rd verse. I can't recall what the 53rd verse. So I was absorbed in composing this. And my dear Nimai, how would you know? And there's no faults in my composition. It's flawless. I said, well, if you care to hear, I will repeat the verse to you, and then you can then tell me what the ornaments and the faults were. And he repeated the 53rd verse and said, how is it possible you remember the 53rd verse? And Mahaprabhu said, some persons are empowered by the Supreme Lord to quote and recite Sanskrit verses with spontaneous ecstasy like you, and some are given some ability to remember things. All abilities come from the Supreme Lord. Now, please tell me, what are the qualities and the faults of this verse? There's no faults. It has only qualities. Then Lord Chaitanya proceeded to indicate what the qualities were and what the faults were. And then asked Digvijay, you please let me know what you think of what I have just spoken. And not a sound came out of his mouth. He was speechless because the goddess of learning withdrew his ability to speak, as the goddess of learning gave the ability to speak. She could withdraw the ability to speak. And he was not only speechless, but he was greatly embarrassed. And all the classmates of Nimai started laughing at him. Ha ha, look at Digvija. Mahaprabhu said, no, no, he's a great soul. Don't do like that. Digvijay, it's towards the end of the day. The sun is just now setting. Can you come back again and enlighten us in more of your wonderful glorifications in Sanskrit verses? We've enjoyed your association so much. Please come back again tomorrow. Very ashamed, he went home. I went to where he did his evening worship of Goddess Saraswati, and he's pondering very deeply, how did this happen? The goddess of learning has given me this benediction that because of my ardent worship of her, nothing, there was nothing of intellectual capacity that he could not do, and no one would be able to defeat me. And now a mere boy has defeated me. How is this possible? She must be very displeased with me for some reason. I don't know what offense I might have made. That night he had a dream. The goddess of fortune appeared to him in his dream, and she was very angry. Goddess, how have I offended you? He said, you do not know, but the fact is that the personality of Godhead is the person from whom I derive all of my abilities, which I have given to you. And because of your pride of what I have given to you, you've challenged that very personality of Godhead. He appears like a small boy, but he's the personality of Godhead. How can I give you the ability to defeat my own master? And therefore your tongue was silent. Your ability was taken away because of the deep pride in your heart. You could not recognize who he is. Now I'll give you an instruction. With all humility, you go back to that personality of God who appears to be a mere boy, but is my master. And you beg forgiveness from him, and you become his surrendered devotee. And he woke up. He was trembling out of fear that he had deeply offended Goddess of Fortune and the master of, not the Goddess of Fortune, Goddess of Learning, and had offended her master. So the next morning, very early, Nimai was under a large tree by the bank of the Ganges, and all of his students were surrounding him, beginning their morning class. And the Digvijaya came and fell at Nimai's feet and begged his forgiveness, saying, I had no idea who you were because my consciousness was blocked by my pride. But by the grace of the Goddess of Learning, I now understand who you really are. Please forgive me for my terrible offense, and please accept me as your devotee. So Mahaprabhu, Nimai, smiled, said, very well. You continue with your worship and your study, and what you should do is compose wonderful literature that glorifies Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is your gift, and you should use your gift in service to Krishna. Just as we heard Shukadeva Goswami describing earlier, which is, whatever great activities great personalities can do, all auspicious, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna again and again, because the great learned sages, the great performers of charity, the great workers of distinction, the great philosophers and mystics, the great chanters of the Vedic hymns, etc., cannot achieve any fruitful result without dedication of such great qualities to the service of the Lord. So whatever it is that one has been gifted by Krishna or through the agents of Krishna, even the goddess of learning or whatever it is that where something that one has of value has come from, ultimately it's come from the Supreme Lord, and the intelligence of how to use that in Krishna's service is given. That buddhi, the dhammi buddhi yogam tam, is given to those who are always engaged in endeavoring to try to serve Krishna favorably. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam dinamam upiyanti te. So Shukadeva Goswami is petitioning Dhyapati, please give me the intelligence so that this question that was asked by Maharaj Parikshit can be properly expressed. Because what he's asked is something inconceivable. Maharaj Parikshit said, you can answer this because not only you're a learned scholar, you're fully knowledgeable in all the Vedas, and you're the son of Vyasadeva. He's trained you in all of this. But most of all, you're a great devotee. And this is the characteristic of the great devotee. What makes a devotee a devotee? What makes a devotee a great devotee? Or the topmost learned person? Is they don't do anything independent of Krishna. Although he has this huge capacity, he's not burdened with pride on his head by that capacity. He's very humbly petitioning the personality of Godhead. Please give me the intelligence to properly present this answer. He has the information. There's a huge difference between information and knowledge, or transcendental knowledge. We can all be information dispensers. You can make a machine that's an information dispenser. That's what computers are, and the whole field of technology. And that's not where you get transcendental realization from. From this, we've been speaking very much about the relationship between the one who is approaching Krishna and the Supreme Lord, and those who are approaching the representatives of Krishna, and those personalities who are receiving that approach. It's all on behalf of the personality of Godhead, just like Shukadeva Goswami is doing. It's really wonderful. The conditioned soul can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. Prabhupada is here referring to Isavasyam idam sarvam jatkincha jagatyam jagatena tyaktena bunjitaha magridaha kasyasvidhanam. Kasyasvidhanam. The self-sufficient philosopher. Prabhupada uses that phrase. Again, he's using the phrase here. We're each of us are entitled to some part of creation. God, just like parents supply for their family members, and each family member is entitled to what they require, and one should understand it's being supplied. And so, by that supplier and supplied relationship, I'm indebted. So all religious teachings express that one is bound to respect mother and father. And the basis of that ultimately is in respect to the ultimate provider, the ultimate supplier, eko bahunam yo vididati kama, the Supreme. And how do you express your respect to the Supreme Supplier of all things? surrender unto him with devotion. Do all the things that you do with real devotion and submission and surrender. This is the message of Shukadeva Goswami that he's presented to Maharaj Pariksit. Now he's demonstrating himself. He's got a service, and how does he approach that service? He's fixing his mind without a sense of independence. He's taking that which the Supreme Lord has given him some unique ability to do. He's at the feet of the Supreme Lord, requesting for the empowerment of his intelligence to do this service properly, to disclose the inconceivable. Just one more petition verse, and we'll end there. It is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna who gives liberation by thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities. The devotees in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Supreme Lord be pleased with me. He wants to be counted in the first category, not the second one. He wants his intelligence to be guided by the Supreme Lord. Yenamam upiyantite. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. What is... There's these two different kinds of intelligence, material and spiritual. Material intelligence is how to manipulate matter in such a way that you can get things that your mind says you want. And buddhi is the intelligence that takes the soul to Krishna, which means the other intelligence takes one away from Krishna. The paradigm in the material world is everything is upside down. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, the banyan tree metaphor, where there is this place where the branches of the tree grow down and the roots of the tree grow up. We don't find such trees except in reflection. And so this material world is a reflection where the roots grow up and the branches go down. You go to the bank of a river or a lake, or a pond. And you look in the reflection, you see the trunk of the tree is going up, and the roots are at the end, and the branches are going down. So, the metaphor is that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, where what's up seems down, and what's down seems up. What's not to be done is what is to be done. And what is to be done is not to be done. Intelligence and the mode of ignorance, described in Bhagavad Gita. And it's not difficult to see a civilization that takes what is not to be done as what is to be done. We're surrounded by it. It's abundant. Intelligence and the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, one is not sure what is to be done and what is not to be done. And the mode of goodness, one clearly knows what is to be done and what is not to be done, and one acts accordingly. So, Shukadeva Goswami wants to be endowed with buddhi, spiritual intelligence, or dhyam pati. He wants to get the intelligence from the original source of intelligence. He wants the Prahlad Maharaj intelligence, not the Hiranyakashipu type. How to control and manipulate the material energies. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in the non-devotee, favors his devotee with proper intelligence so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. This is the subject Maharaj Pariksit wants to hear about, the energies of the Supreme Lord, and what it requires, the decoration of spiritual intelligence to understand that that's the entitlement, Tesham Satita Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. That's the qualification one must have to get buddhi, spiritual intelligence. So therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Bodhi Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are sometimes used interchangeably. You recognize in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 39, Krishna says, I've described Sankhya, now I'm going to describe Bodhi Yoga. Sankhya Yoga, analysis of matter and spirit. Bodhi, how to go to Krishna. And Krishna gives that. You can't go into the marketplace and buy a kilo of bodhi. Or you can't go to school and take a bodhi yoga course or a bodhi course. It's something that Krishna gives from within. And Krishna's checking our qualification. Satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Okay, so any discussion? Narantra. Sukadeva Goswami.
His
what? No. No indication like that that I'm aware of. He took birth. He aged, apparently. His body was certainly unique because of his consciousness being unique, spiritualized. Anything else? Question out from all the discussions this morning. Yes.
Again, the class with one has to fly on one's own plane.
Yeah.
So the time that the one is very fortunate, there are devotees around, certainly that helps.
Yeah.
So then, even then, if one is not in the state of the right consciousness, even when devotees are around, still there is benefit.
Sure. The atmosphere is made spiritually favorable, and it makes it, it's a prompt to think of Krishna. Yes. Come on.
Guru Maharaj, in the, with what you were saying in terms of Krishna giving one's abilities and intelligence and how that should be used for Krishna's service. In the case of Grihastas, that part of the service is to provide for your family, how much of a failure is to not use those particular gifts that Krishna gives, you know, for fulfilling that type of
abilities that Krishna gives doesn't have to be one's vocation. It can be avocation, but doesn't have to be, you know, what puts bread on the table or pays your bills. But Krishna's given some ability, that ability should be used somehow in service to him. Just take it a little further, we'll feel insufficient if we have some ability that's not being used in Krishna's service. But it doesn't have to be that's one's avocation, but that's one's vocation. If the premise that you were presenting were so, then, you know, every sannyasi would have to have no nature or no disposition for activity. So they're not earning a livelihood based upon that ability that Krishna has given. Yes.
You were talking about how the gifts that Krishna gives, when Krishna sees that we are using it in his service, then he gives more intelligence through that.
Or more,
he increases the capacity
of that
gift.
Yes.
But we also see that materialists, it seems like their intelligence was not increasing, it's going more. They're not using it for Krishna, but somehow
there's other
desire.
So the first was the Krishna's program with his devotees, and then there's Krishna's program with the non-devotees. And now the Krishna's program with his devotees is not Krishna is bound by some rule that says this is a nice devotee, they're using what I've given them. Now obliged to give them more. He may not. And with the non-devotee, the different set of rules is punya and papa, or guna and karma. Now Krishna's not, he can make exceptions to those rules too, but he's the rule maker, and he oversees the rules. Maya dyakshina prakriti. And the rule is, for those who have done some piety, they're awarded the fruits of piety. And after some time, when their fruits of piety are exhausted, it's a free fall. It's a long way down. And in this age, is it not a major embarrassment that persons rise to a high position and due to their impiety they're caught with their hand in the cookie jar or something and they're given the boot or something, you know, some promiscuity or some kind of impropriety, and then some investigation, some trial, you know, they resign from their post or they're kicked out. One or the other. They're sent to jail for 40 years for impious activity from a very high position. Because they've scaled the wall, you know, like Ravana trying to build a staircase to heaven. So they don't have there are these two words that Prabhupada has explained. The root is kriti, and then there's sukriti and duskriti. And so, kriti is merit and based upon performance of some austerity or sacrifice or charity or something.
Oh.
And he took this couch outside?
In the garage.
In the garage, okay, cool. It's safe. If anybody left their window open. Come back wet. Okay. Kriti that's used in a detrimental way is duskriti. Namam duskritina mudha. There's various descriptions of the duskriti in Bhagavad Gita. He never surrender unto Krishna. That's the trait of the duskriti. And the sukriti is whatever kriti, they use it in service to Krishna. So after the materialist non-devotee scales some through their past pious activity that's not properly used, and they're not continuing in meritorious ways or pious ways, they fall. Someone earns some money, they go on vacation, they spend, and after some time they run out of money, they've got to come back and go to work again. So that's their problem. They're enjoying the fruits of their past piety. Prabhupada described like that. This nation was formed in God we trust. It was formed by people who came to this country to exercise very enthusiastic religious purposes. And then they established many churches. And then after their prosperity was well established, they abandoned the churches. Thank you, God. See you later. We're busy enjoying the fruits of our piety. And so Prabhupada explained, many of our temples are former churches. Yes. Volume up a little bit.
Talking about purity in yesterday's class.
Purity in yesterday's class, yeah.
The letter to Yogeshwar Prabhu.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, it's probably the only term.
Yeah.
I was thinking, most people are not looking for or even not able to recognize purity, even when
they don't recognize purity even when they see it. What they see is, there's two things that they see. They don't recognize it, but it's very interesting, or they think it's a sign of weakness.
They think they're attracted to other external things.
Yeah. Yeah. But Prabhupada gave his presentation that we stand on our purity. There are persons that are looking for the genuine thing. There are persons looking for the genuine thing. And that's what we have to offer. Now, it was a particular circumstance with a particular person at a particular time in the growth of our organization. Now, how we present Krishna consciousness is of concern, because we have an audience. And we want the audience to take Krishna consciousness, not stay away from it because they can't recognize what it is that is being offered to them. So, you know, for those in our audience that are in their field is marketing is something that is important. But, you know, the product is pure. And we want people to know that the product is pure. There are persons that will eat, you know, junk food, and there are persons that want something that's pure. So we're not offering junk food, we're offering that which is pure. We warn people, there's dangers in eating junk food. And there's merit in eating prasad, not just vegetarian food. So we're presenting that which is pure. We also have to be mindful of our audience, yes. But we also don't want to lose our purity in favor of promotion. That goes on, that thought goes on sometimes also. You just, you know, draw a line. We don't cross the line of purity while we consider the packaging. Presentation. Yes.
Appreciation and maybe after that a question. An appreciation for what I heard. And
okay, appreciation.
You were mentioning that how Sukadeva Goswami, because of his devotion, he was qualified, certainly qualified to present what Parikshit Maharaj was asking.
Mm-hmm.
But in spite of that, before he actually executed his service, he again petitioned the Lord that he could execute his service
mm-hmm.
properly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear that, to me it seems like a It's like a catch 22, where if I don't have the devotion, or if I don't realize that, then the subsequent thing will also not be there for praying and for executing.
It's not catch 22, it's just a phase 1, phase 2 of disqualification. But here is Shukadeva Goswami. So he's a shining light in the region of darkness. Go towards the light. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. There's the example. He's the role model. He's the acharya. He's the one that we want to become like. And then the question is, well, how do you do it? Here's how you do it. He's showing by his example how you do it. So then we need to internalize the example, although, and then practice that. Regularly hear it. Remember the example. Just as you're doing now, expressing appreciation. And then try. Now, the way of devotional service is likened to nectar devotion to the walking ability in a child. It's dormant. And when children are beginning to learn to walk, they make lots of mistakes. One step, two step, and then they get up and then one step. And it's cute to watch them do it, but what's going on is an innate ability is coming out. And after some time, they can walk without the parents holding their little hands and taking one step, two step, and the next thing you know, they're running around all over the place. You can't stop them. Yes, Mara. Come on, sit down. Similarly, the innate ability of such Krishna conscious conduct, it's there. It's just, you know, our back has been turned to the light for so long, all we're just accustomed to darkness. But now back to Jayarathi's comment and question. It's attractive. To some people it looks like weakness. To other persons, they understand right away, this is purity. So, you appreciate it as purity, and you're accustomed to something else. Go to the purity. Cultivate it. Try it a few times. It's very satisfying. I like that. Then, you know, some time passes and you get busy and it's, you know, back to being busy. And then it comes again. So regularly hearing is very valuable. Just awakens. One of the next things that's being said here, yeah, this dhyāpati, not even the next thing, I just skipped over it, but that same innate knowledge that's within Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, it's within us. So he goes to the next verse. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma had knowledge awakened from within. That same Supreme Lord who's within, who he's praying to give him, it was also given to Brahma. To Narada, to Vyasa, to him. Shukadeva. So it's already there. Our eligibility is to develop the right disposition of heart. Shelter taking of those who have that quality, we can gain that quality. Fortunately. Anything else? Okay. Oh, one more. Yeah.
It's being more morning there was one question about Bhishma Day.
Question about Bhishma Day, yeah.
You made a comment that we should be careful not to project. I'm not sure exactly how you put it. But we should not be, project those qualities.
The comment was, when we look at a great personality like Bhishma Dev, we shouldn't look at one little piece of what Bhishma Dev's life was and say he's, you know, look at the whole picture.
I think following that, that you already asked, that there might be people like that, bodies like that in the present day.
Well, his question was kind of, you know, hard to understand what exactly he was asking, but he gave the example of Bhishma Dev, whereas this part of his life, that part of his life, this part of his life, that part of his life, and that. So, one part of his life was the mistake part, where, although it was his position, it was his service, and he's a Mahajan, but he was somehow unable to discern what was Dharma with regard to Draupadi's being disrobed. Whereas it's very easy to understand what is Dharma in a circumstance like that. But he didn't speak. So it was wrong. So his question was, are there maybe people like that today where they're Bhishma Dev of quality, but there's some mistake over here? That was what he was asking. And my answer was, you have to look at the big picture, not just, you know, your imagination. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.